We're going to look at what Job knew and how he knew it this morning. What Job knew and how he knew it. Open your Bibles up to the book of Job, because we'll be making several references to truth that are set forth in that book. As we look into that book, we see the evidence of God in an expanding universe. And when God finally met Job face to face, that's what he talked about. The universe and the fact that he was in charge of all of those things. Though the Bible is not a scientific book, or it's not written for that purpose, it does contain many scientific evidences of the existence of God, the creator and the divine inspiration of the Bible. And so that's the reason we're going to look at the book of Job this morning, because God has revealed many things to us through him. Job was a man that was not a scientist, but he was an inspired man. In fact, in Job 1 and verse 1, Scripture says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed that which was evil," or refused to engage in that which was evil. This Job that we have in the book of Job was a family man. Scripture said he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a man that trusted God under unknown and all manner of conditions. Job formerly knew God by the hearing of the ear. But in chapter 38 of the book of Job, we see that he comes face to face with God. And God reveals many things to him. The devil was putting a lot of pressure on Job. Job was very patient during that time that he was suffering, because of the pressure that the devil was putting on him. Some of his friends were saying, "Well, now why don't you just curse God and die?" And Job said in Job 13 and verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." We find James in the New Testament talking about Job. He said, "Behold, we count them happy which endure and have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Of course, it's talking there about how the Lord blessed Job after he proved himself to be faithful in those things that the Lord told him to do. So we're going to look at a poem in this lesson this morning. It was written by Laphan L. Morgan, entitled From Job. And he based it on many of those truths that are revealed in the book of Job. We had plenty of snow this winter. And so that's what we're going to talk about first in this book. In that poem, he said, white winter's gift, the farmers know, will help their summer gardens grow. But aren't there treasures in the snow? Who told Job about that? Well, in Job 38 and verse 22, the scripture says, hast thou entered into the treasure of the snow? Each snowflake is a hexagon having six angles and six sides. And if you take time to look at these snowflakes, you'll find that they're very beautiful. They have intricate designs that you can see. They're kind of like a kaleidoscope from nature, a treasure. The snow provides valuable nutrients for the earth, such as nitrogen, and farmers know about this. When we have a lot of snow, the corn farmers of this area say, we'll have a good year. Why? Because of the nitrogen that comes from the snow. And they count on that helping them when they plant their crops and when they wait from the time they plant to time of harvest to see the great output of that corn because God has blessed them in this way. Then the poet said, fresh water springs are in the seas. God measured earth and weighed the breeze. How once such things were mysteries. Did Job know about these? Well, in Job 38 and verse 16, the scripture says, hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? How did Job know that there was water springs feeding the seas? Evidently, he knew this in the same way that the psalmist knew that there was paths in the sea. In Psalms 8 and verse 8, where the scripture says, and talking about the things that God created and how they function, he talked first about the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. So what John Murray in this poem is writing about here is the maps that was made that are called shipping lanes of those passages through the sea. They're still used even today by the great ships that plow through the sea. On nothing hang the sea and land. We move in space by God's command. He wrote, but could he understand? Who moved Job's hand? As he was writing these things, who moved his hand to cause him to write these things? Well, in Job 26 and 7 says, he hangeth the earth upon nothing. Centuries upon centuries passed before man realized that the earth was not resting upon something. Some ancient people believed that the earth was resting on a giant turtle. Yes, but Job had it right when he wrote that the earth hangeth on nothing. But how? How did he know that? The answer is simple. God told him about these things. The earth's a circle. Never fear a fall from edges of the sphere, who whisper hidden things so clear into Job's ear. We find in Job 22 and verse 14, the scripture saying he walked in the circuit or circle of heaven. That same Hebrew word that's used there for circuit, the word chug, is translated circle in Isaiah 40 and verse 22. That verse reads, it is he that setteth on the circle of the earth. So as late as the end of the 15th century, smart men believed the world was flat. That if you started out and went far enough, that after a while you just drop off the edge of that. And that was believed for a long time, but Job knew the difference in that. He knew that the earth was a circumference and that you couldn't fall off of the earth or come to the edge of it. So God taught that the earth was round. And Isaiah taught that the earth is round. No eye could see from the mountain peak the empty place the north did seek. Then who provided truth to speak for Job the meek? Job 26 and 7 tells, he stretched out the north over the empty place. How did Job know that there was an empty place in the northern hemisphere without stars, and is still there? If you look, God told Job about that empty place in the north. It's almost unbelievable how anyone could doubt the existence of God or the divine inspiration of the Bible, the Word of God that we study in our classes and in our preaching from time to time. I believe that the evidence is truly overwhelming for us to see. Job, being a family man, was interested in his children. He was afraid that his children, in their partying and things of that nature, might curse God in their hearts. And so he offered sacrifices for them daily. But let's listen to what Ezekiel 14:20 says. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall not deliver their own souls by their righteousness. He couldn't make the sacrifice for his children. We know in the destruction of those things that Job owned, that the first thing that went was his children. It's the same way for us today. We can do a lot of things for our children. We can love them and lift them up and try to plant their feet on the way that they ought to go. But only they can obey the Lord. We can teach them, but if they don't respond to the teaching of the God of heaven revealed in those things of nature, then they can't be saved. Job was a very wise man. His friends said to them as they associated with him, that you've sinned some great sin. And that's the reason that all of these things are happening to you. They didn't know that the old devil had a hand in all of these things. But even in the suffering and the patience of Job, he refused to lose his integrity and to believe in God. And because he obeyed God, we find that the scripture says in Ezekiel 14 and verse 20 that he delivered his own soul by the righteousness that he had in his life. Sobering, isn't it? Uplifting, isn't it? To know that our God created all of these things that we see for our good, that we might have faith in Him, and that we might obey the gospel. It's only those that obey the gospel that's going to be saved. We might make many offerings unto God, but the offering that He wants us to make and expects us to make is of ourselves. That's what Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We give our bodies a living sacrifice, not on the cross like Christ died, but by accepting the pressure of our cross that we have to bear. And that causes us to do what God wants us to do rather than doing what we want to do. God help us to see His integrity, His help, His sacrifice in our lives so that we might follow Him and believe what He said, just like Job believed what He said. If you're not walking in that way this morning, God's calling you to be obedient. He's promised to bless you immensely if you follow those things that He tells you to do. It's up to you this morning to make the right decision.